All right. Let's open our Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, if you would. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live, that's us, Jesus is the one that died, and they which live, that's us. Everybody in here is saved, say, that's me. That he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Verse 16, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Talking about after the flesh. Verse 17, our text. Therefore, in light of that that's been stated, therefore, if any man that crosses all barriers, that is an all-inclusive term, doesn't matter what nationality, doesn't matter what background, color, creed, doesn't make no difference. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. I like that. Old things, old desires, old directions are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let's bow for prayer and you can be seated. Father, please help us, God, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you, God, for what you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm interested, I know what time it is, but I'm interested for a few minutes this morning, as the Lord to help us now, on verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. God saves no one and leaves them in the old way. Amen. Amen. God is not impressed with anything of the old nature. But he says in this verse of Scripture, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Those that are saved, those that have been born again, those that have realized I'm a sinner and that I need a Savior, and Jesus Christ is the only Savior. And only those, listen, this is very narrow-minded, but it's as narrow-minded as God's Word. It's all we've got to go off of, is this, that no one that has never been saved, accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, will go to heaven when they die. All people are not Christians. All people are not saved. Even all religious people are not saved. Religion is not salvation. You can be religious, but be religiously lost. You can be sincere, but be sincerely lost. You can be moral, but be morally lost without God. Has there ever been a time in your life that the Spirit of God took the Word of God, turned the light on of illumination in your heart and showed you that you was a sinner? A sinner, what is that? That's a transgressor. You transgress God's holy law. You've broken the law. Just like in our world, you break the law, you do the crime, you do the time. You break the law, and you, listen, there's a penalty for that. There's a penalty for that. You can't go in the courtroom and say, well, I didn't mean to. That won't hold water. You can't go in the courtroom having broke earthly laws and say, well, you know, I didn't know that that was wrong. That won't carry no water either. Ignorance is no excuse. And here is the holy, holy law of God. And to sin means you've broken God's law. Amen. You've sinned against God's Word. Amen. And the wages of sin, the penalty of sin is what? Death. Physically and eternally. But I'm interested in the statement made, he is a new creature. He is a new creature. That word creature, you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, which is the dictionary for both the Hebrew of the Old Testament words and the Greek of the New Testament words, definitions, and you'll find that that word creature is translated creation six other times in the Bible. Creature. The word there translated creature also means creation. He is a new creature. He is a new creation. Amen. And I begin to think about that. That's what God does for someone when He saves them. And of course, there's other verses that confirms the fact that salvation is a creation. Amen. Now, let me read a couple of those verses if I could. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10. We know those verses. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians chapter number 4, we have it alluded to again, referenced again, Ephesians chapter 4. I want to read that verse number 24. The Bible says here, and verse 22, he's talking about putting off, note that term, putting off, concerning the former conversation or the former conduct or the former manner of life. You put that off when you get saved. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So we put off the old man, the old life, when you get saved by the grace of God. Verse number 24, and that you put on. See, you put off the old man, you put on the new man, but notice the definition or the description of the new man. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Listen to Colossians, the third chapter. Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. I want to read this verse. We find in verse 10. I want to read a couple of verses here. Verse number 10, we have that same parallel passage to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And he says in verse number 9, put off the old man with his deeds. Well, that's good sense, isn't it? God said, I want you to put off your old lifestyle, that old meaning your lifestyle before you got saved. Amen. Can you look at your life as old and new? Can you look at your life now as still having the deeds of the old pre-converted lifestyle? If that's true, then maybe you're still the old man. Put off the old man. That's not talking about your physical age. That's talking about the old man. What you were before Christ came. Before you got saved by the grace of God. Put off the old man with his deeds. In verse 10, and have put on the new man. Thank God. When you get saved, God makes you new. You're still living in the old body, the same body, but everything in it and everything around it is to be new. You have a new thought life. You have a new language. You have a new heart. You have a new desire. You're going in a new direction. You've got a new master. You're headed for a new home. You're governed by a new book, new laws. Amen. God makes a change in you when you get saved. What you once loved after you get saved, you now hate. And what you used to hate before you got saved, now you love. Oh yeah, before salvation, it's normal, it's natural, it's automatic for you to love sin and wickedness and filth and ungodliness and everything the world is for. But when you get saved, God makes a change in that. And I want to testify here, if God did not make a change in you in that area, you would have never left your life of sin because you loved it. And you will love, you will live according to what you love. If you love worldliness and sin and wickedness, you're going to live accordingly. But once you get saved, hallelujah, God makes you a new creation. God makes you a new creature. And all of that changes. Your attitude will change towards sin. Your attitude will change toward the Scripture. Your attitude will change toward the saints. Hey, well, I don't want to go to church. I'd rather go do this. Well, when you get saved, God puts it in your heart that, hey, God's people is my people. God's family is my family. Amen. Hallelujah. I've got a new father now, and his family is my family. Amen. Amen. Well, preacher, I don't think you have to go to church. Well, you're looking at an example of the contrary to that. I ran away from home over that subject. I'm not going. You're not going to force me to go. I'll leave. I didn't say that outwardly or I wouldn't have been able to leave. Daddy would have took care of business right there with a knuckle sandwich probably. Amen. But I sure thought it. And I, why? Why? Because I had a desire not for holy things, not for spiritual things, not for the divine things. I had a desire for the world. I had a desire for the pleasures of the world. I had a desire for popularity. I had a desire for those things. But when I got saved, I didn't have to go to a going church class. I didn't have to go through a going back to church, a loving church, a fitting in with church class. No. Immediately when I got up out of the altar, I knew mom and daddy wasn't going to have no rebellious boy no more. I knew when I got up out of the altar, mom and daddy has got a saved boy now. And I mean immediately I had a desire for the things of God. Immediately I didn't want to go back to the S-curve where we used to go and party. I didn't have no desire at all. None. Zero. Zilch, amen, and go back to the dance floor. Amen, 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 amen. Amen, that's right. Oh yeah, a praying knee and a dancing foot don't grow on the same leg. Amen. You can't bow to Jesus and boogie to the world at the same time. Amen. You say, I don't know about all that. Well, if you get saved, you will. Woo, I feel some preach coming on. Amen. I'm glad God makes us new. There's no way we could live for God if He didn't do that. Amen, amen. No way we could stay out of the world if He didn't do that. No way we could stay out of sin if He didn't do that. But God makes a difference, amen. God changes us, and He'll change you by His good grace and His good mercies. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, what are you hollering about? I'm not hollering, I'm preaching. Amen. I've had people say that to me before. So, preacher, we're not deaf. What are you hollering at us for? I'm not hollering. I'm preaching. Amen. I'm carousoing the word. You say, what is that? That's a man that had a voice that could shatter glass. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Do we have any trumpet players in here? Do you know somebody? You've been there. You've seen the trumpet players. They're the leading instrument most of the time in a band or when there's music. It's made to be played loud. Hey, I told that lady, I said, my volume's not what's bothering you. My subject is what's bothering you. Amen. Hey, it's not what I'm hollering about. It's not my hollering, it's what I'm hollering about that's bothering you this morning. Amen. I want a preacher to preach to me. Amen. Amen. I don't want a doctor to preach to me. I want him to talk to me. I want a teacher to teach me, but I want a preacher to preach to me. I want preaching that will involve teaching. Amen. Well, I better get off that or we won't get to eat supper. Hey, but I'm glad God makes us a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so I want to deal with that just quickly if I can. Man, hallelujah. Lord's broke in on us and give us good liberty. I praise His name. Amen. I praise His name. But here's the two things I want to deal with. Two things. I want to deal with the fact where it said that we are a new creature in Christ. I'm going to preach on salvation creation. That's what I want to preach on. And there's two things that I want to really focus on for the message this morning. One, this subject tells me what salvation is not. And then secondly, we want to talk about this subject tells me what salvation is. When you do a parallel between creation and salvation. Are you listening? You see the point. God said we've been made a new creature. And I read those other verses I've got to read you one more. I was about to leave it off. The Lord just brought it back to my mind. If I won't lose it here. Chapter 1 of Colossians. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Notice this. All things were created by Him and for Him. Amen. So the word creation is used in talking about creation of the world, creation of the universe, creation of all things. And thank God there is a Creator. Amen. Oh yeah, I believe that. I believe if a person's wrong about creation, he's wrong about salvation. You can't be right about salvation doctrine and be wrong about creation doctrine. Because salvation is a creation work of God. Amen. And Miss Sierra, I believe it was, had her... what was that, her science book or something from school? Anyway, I was looking at it and it had big, bold letters this big, evolution. I said, what? She said, yeah, there are four chapters in here on that. Now, if I was a parent, I'd be pitching a mortal hissy over that right there. You see, you don't know what that is? Oh, yeah, you know what it is. If nothing else, you ought to have been pitching a fit over the fact that there was zero chapters about creation. It's not a balance issue. Let's give them both sides and let them make their own choice. Uh-uh. Four chapters on evolution right here in Hawkins County, pushing that right down the throat and into the minds of our young people. Amen. And if they didn't come to a Bible preaching church like this to know that that's error and know that that's wrong, they would swallow it probably hook, line, and sinker. But I'd be wanting to know, ladies and gentlemen, why is there not the other side presented? They don't want it presented. Why? Because there's no God in evolution. You don't have to change the way you live and be an evolutionist. You can be an adulterer and a fornicator and a God cusser and an alcoholic and a doper and a murderer and be an evolutionist. But if you're a creationist, amen, that means you believe there is a God and you're accountable to Him on how you live. Well, I better get off that. Lord, help us. Salvation, what it is not. And I'm just going to give them to you quickly. You don't have to write them down, but listen. Salvation, when you look at it as a creation, Brother Krutschko, you find out that salvation is not a reforming. It is not a remodeling. You want these after service, you can get them. It is, everybody listening? It's not a remodeling. It is not a reforming. It is not a reconstructing. It is not a renovating. It is not a recapping. It is not a renewing. And it's not a refurbishing. Creation. You say, preacher, what do you mean? All of those seven that I just gave you starts out with R-E. You know what that means? R-E, as putting in front of, reforming, remodeling, reconstructing, recapping, refurbishing, renewing, and re means to do again. Re means to do over. Wait a minute now. To do over, to do again, that means you've got something to work with. You've got something, amen, to work with. But creation wasn't a work of God with something. There was nothing. That's why salvation is like creation. God steps out and takes nothing. And with the power of His Word speaks, and the nothing becomes something. Hey, oh, that's what salvation is. When you're lost, you are a nothing. You are a nobody. You have nothing to give God for Him to redo, for Him to refurbish, for Him to remodel, for Him to remake, for Him to reconstruct. There was nothing for God to work with. I'm about to have a spell. But when it comes to creation, God will tell you real quick, I don't need nothing. Hey, you don't have to give me nothing. I can make something out of nothing. And God is the only one able to do that, by the way. Amen. And when it comes to salvation, you may say as a sinner, well, God, I don't have much to offer you. Well, you're not going to get saved like that. Well, God, I've not been all that bad. Well, you're not going to get saved like that. Amen. Amen. If God would have had something in creation to work with, a sand pile over here and a hole of water over here or a hole for the water over here, if God had had a few things, He could have never used the word create. He could use the word manufacture. He could use the words, make. I took something and made something, but create takes away and does away with all of that. Create says I didn't need nothing, I didn't have nothing, there was nothing. Amen, but I stepped out with the power of my word and I spoke and it was done. Amen. Glory. Salvation is what it is not. It is not God taking a little something and making a big something. It's not God. When you're lost, listen, can you get a hold of this? Dear sinner friend, you have nothing to offer God. Do you realize, according to the 64th chapter of Isaiah, that your righteousnesses, that's the way it's worded, your righteousnesses, all you can come up with, the best you can put on the table. I mean, every day, every moment of your life, the best you can produce. You know what God says it is? Filthy rags. And in a mixed congregation, I cannot define what the filthy rags is referring to. Are you listening to the preacher this morning? I'm telling you, if you're going to get saved, you're going to have to come to the place where it's a reality to you. I am nothing and I have nothing to offer God. It's not me and God doing it together. It's not me doing my part and God doing the rest. No, you need to recognize that you have nothing to offer a holy God except a sinful life. That's all you got. Woo! Amen, Jesus. Salvation is not an improvement. Salvation is not a makeover. The world's got this show thing, or I don't know if it's still on now, but they used to have called it extreme makeover. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody want to sign up? And they focus on that show years ago. I don't even know if it's still on anymore. But what they'd do on that show is they'd find someone like kind of like we are, you know, sort of on the homely list. They'd find somebody that looked like a mud fence. They'd find somebody that looked like had been run over with a Mack truck. And they'd take them in there and they'd give them a hairdo and a nail job and a makeup do and a lip do and a teeth do and all this other do. Amen. And then all of a sudden, voila, they show up a before and after picture. And the after looked nothing like the former. But salvation's not even an extreme makeover. Woo! Even though there was no difference, I mean, there was a vast difference between the before and the after, you still cannot define that as creation. A makeover is not a creation. A makeover is taking the lips of her, the eyes of her, the hair of her, the body of her, amen, and doing a little work with it and a little work on it, and then you have the makeover. The term defines it. Make over. Took what was there and just made over it. But salvation, ladies and gentlemen, thank God, is not a makeover. Hey, because you had nothing for God to make over. God had to make again. God had to make anew. Hey, that's why it's called we're born again. That's why the Bible said we're born again. You must be. Amen, Lord's going to help me right here. You must be born again. Born again? What's wrong with the first birth? Exactly. The first birth is earthly. The first birth is human. The first birth is sinful. The first birth is Adamic. That is, it hooks you up with the Adam, the man who plunged the whole human race into sin. And as I'm showing you here, nothing that flesh can do to cross out of that status of being sinful. Amen. Nothing of the flesh, Miss Arlene, can produce an acceptable sacrifice to God. God will never let anything of the first birth put you in heaven. That's why works won't work. Not of works. Bible said it clear. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Amen. Not works. The first birth cannot produce it. Amen. A good illustration of that is Cain and Abel. Abel, or Cain, brings the fruit of the ground, the works of his hands. He was a farmer. And he brought all that he had, the best he had, and he offered it up to God as a sacrifice, but God rejected it. But here comes Abel along. Abel didn't have the fruit of the ground, the works of his hand. Abel had the firstling of the flock, which was a blood sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood is no remission or forgiveness of sin. See, Cain offered a bloodless sacrifice. Abel offered a blood sacrifice. Amen. Not his blood. Oh, his blood was tainted. His blood was sinful. His blood was wicked. God wouldn't accept his blood. So he took an innocent to die for the guilty. He took the pure to die for the unholy. What was that a picture of? That was a picture of that a couple, 3 or 4 thousand years ahead, there's going to come a man named Jesus, and he's going to be called the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So why do I have to be born again, preacher? Because the first birth won't do. The first birth can't do it. You can't straighten up enough. You can't reform enough. You can't turn over enough new leaves. Come on now. I'm talking about right here in the Bible Belt, friend, right here in the buckle of the Bible Belt, there's tons of people, thousands of people that believe that they can straighten up and start doing better. I hugged the neck of a young boy at that funeral that I prayed for him. I was there. Listen, I remember when he came into this world. I was there. Listen, I was there when he was young, just a little squirt running around in the church. And him and his brothers was pallbearers at that funeral. And they had to leave before the graveside, actually, part of it was over. And they came to the graveside, and before we ever started the service, Benny and Joey both, and Kim, their sister, both, all three of them came up to me. They didn't care if it was interrupting what was going on, and hugged my neck. Hugged my neck. And I said, Joey, I said, the last time I seen you, buddy, you was laying flat of your back with a bullet hole in you. You weren't doing good. He just hung his head and he said, I know, preacher. I said, Benny, I said, I've been praying for you. I pray for you often as the Lord brings you to my heart and back to my attention. I pray for you, Benny. I want to see you get saved, get right with God. And you know what he used? He used a term I hear often. I'm trying to do better, preacher. Trying to do better, that's why you can't stay out of jail. Trying to do better, that's why you go from sin to sin. That's why you go from drug to drug and alcohol to alcohol. It's because doing better, my friend, is not anything that'll get the attention of God. You don't need to be renewed. You need to be reborn. Why? When you're born again. You're born of the Spirit of God. My friend, that's not a figure of speech. That's actuality. You're born of the Spirit into a new world and a new life. Just as the physical birth gives you a human nature, the spiritual birth gives you a spiritual nature. The physical birth gives you physical life. The spiritual birth gives you spiritual life. The physical birth gives you hooks you up with an earthly father. Your spiritual birth hooks you up with a heavenly father. Oh, yes. Amen. It's not an improvement. It's not a makeover. It is really being a new creation, a new creature. Let me close this. I thought I'd just hit that in a lick or two, but God wanted some of those simple things that we take for granted. Oh, yeah, I know what that is, be born again, preacher. I know what that is. But maybe not everybody here does. Amen. I enjoyed telling it again anyhow. What salvation is not, and I gave you that big list. Here's what salvation is as illustrated with that. And listen, I'm just going to touch just the three. I'm going to touch three. Try to touch three. But it's vast. Salvation is as vast as creation. How can you define creation? How can you describe creation? How can you do a PowerPoint, Brother Silas, of creation in one service? You can wear your body out, your projectors out, your ministry out, and still never get it told. But salvation as a creation tells us what salvation is. Are you ready? Are we ready? Feel like I'm fixing to run, amen. Number one, are we ready? Here's what salvation is as illustrated with creation. It is a heavenly initiated work. When God created worlds, He didn't ask nobody. When God created worlds, listen, He didn't get a council together of somebody on earth because there was no earth. There was nobody. God initiated it. God initiated it. Oh, yes. Are you listening? I'm talking about God planned it. I'm talking about the earthly creation now. God planned it. God's the one that put it all in motion when He stepped out on nothing and spoke it all into existence. My friend, God had a plan. He didn't figure it out as He went, as we would do, amen, and read the directions later. No, He's God. He's never sinned, never made a mistake. You say, where'd He come from? He didn't come from anywhere. He's always been. Now, you can't get a hold of that with your fleshly human mind, nor can I. Amen. Everything we know about had a start and will have an ending. Amen. But creation didn't have, it had a starting. Amen. There was a time that God initiated. Listen, do you realize that when you go out here and you look at everything that is, do you realize that was all God's doings? That was all God's idea. I mean, how hard is that? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How hard is that? The first verse in the Bible. How difficult is that? You can't explain it. That's why it's a faith. Who was it was testifying about understanding? Who? Somebody in here was talking about, I don't understand, a while ago. I know somebody did. Who was it? Huh? Yeah, even if you don't understand. And I thought, if you can understand it, it's not God. If you can explain it, it's not God. Hey, amen. Amen. Because God moves in creation. He steps up and above and beyond our ability to comprehend, our ability to explain, and our ability to understand. But yet, we know what the Bible says, and we are Bible believers, and we believe that God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. Amen. All things are created by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Thank God we have a Creator. I feel like running. Amen. That same Creator that created worlds is the same one that initiated the plan and the idea and the motion and the initiative of you being saved. Calvary was not your idea. Calvary, the cross of Calvary on which the Prince of Glory died, that would have never been my idea. That would have never been your plan. We would have had some kind of a works-based idea, wouldn't we? Come on now. We'd have had some idea of where we could do and straighten up and change, and then we'd be saved. No, God says it's going to take blood. It's going to take blood because the wages of sin is death. You've sinned, and the penalty of sin is death. And instead of you dying, I'm going to send my Son Jesus Christ to die. He's going to die for you. He didn't sin. He's not dying for His sin. He's dying for your sin. What a Savior. Anybody feel something on that? What a Savior. He died not for His sin, but for yours. The just for the unjust. The holy for the unholy. The righteous for the unrighteous. God dying for sinful man. That right there ought to cause every one of us to want to live right till the day we die. Not to get saved, stay saved, but to honor God. To honor God. Amen. Listen, it's a heavenly initiated work. Amen. Lord help us. Let me move on. I was going to say some more on that. Number two. It is a humanly, and I've already referenced this quite a bit, so I'll bump on it and go on. But not only is it a heavenly initiated work, creation is, and also salvation is. Because salvation is a creation. People that's in Christ have been made a new what? New creature, a new creation. Amen. We've been begotten again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Amen. You can't educate yourself into Christ. You have to be created in Christ Jesus. You have to be born into the family. Listen. All right, listen. It's a heavenly initiated work. It's a humanly impossible work. Anybody in here created any stars? Come on now. Who in here helped create the sun? Now, I know somebody in here surely did. Not that you're that old, but you got that ability. Anybody in here create rivers? Create trees, birds, clouds? Surely something. Rocks. You created rocks. You know why? We don't have that ability. We don't have the power. We don't have the means. We don't have the know-how. Amen. We're not big enough. We can't create even the smallest thing, much less the biggest thing. Can you create what is the three things that makes up an atom? Was it electrons, neutrons, and proton? Can you make those? Can you make those? Those are some of the smallest things, if not the smallest things known to man. Listen to this right here. Here's how small they are. Everybody listening? You can put 25 trillion protons laying side by side in a 1-inch span. That's pretty small. Anybody here create one of them? Oh, we toot our horn, but we can't even create the smallest thing. Hello? What about the biggest thing? Can you create something big? You ever create anything big besides a problem? The only thing I create good is a mess. Say amen. Did you know the Milky Way is 100,000 light years in diameter? Everybody knows what a light year is, I'm sure. That's the speed of light traveling 1 year, a 1 year span of distance, taking it 1 year, 186,000 miles per second. I doubt your speedometer registers that. That's 700 million miles per hour. I don't think you'd go that fast, Brother Tim, on that rocket you got. The Milky Way, that's our solar system. That's how big it is. If you traveled 700 million miles per hour, it would take you 1 year traveling that fast to cross it. And that's just only a very small part of the known universe. We all talk about how big the sun is. Pretty big, wouldn't you think? But that's not the biggest thing. The sun, in comparison to the earth, the sun will hold 1,300,000 of our worlds inside of it. Man, you said, wow, preach, that's big. It is, but that's not the biggest. There is a star, and by the way, the sun is 93 million miles away, and we feel its heat as soon as it comes across the horizon. Listen to this. The sun can hold 1,300,000 of our worlds, but there is a star called the Antares star that can hold 64 million of the sun. That's pretty big. You got any tools that can make that? And then there's another star in the Hercules star constellation that is big enough that it can hold 100 million of the Antares star. And that's still not the biggest. There's a star called the Epsilon star that's the largest known to man, and it's incalculable how many of the Antares star that it can hold. And the same God, and God only is the one that can do that. I want to stress that before we close. Only God can create what we see. Only God can create all that we don't see. Only God can do that. We don't have the ability to create. That's why we can't save ourselves. Because salvation is a creation. We didn't create ourselves physically, and we can't recreate ourselves spiritually. We can't do that. It takes God to do that. Well, it's a heavenly initiated work. It's a humanly impossible work. But it's also, thirdly, a holy imprinting work. And I'll just give you a few things on that, and I'll be done. I really wanted to bog in on this one. Creation is the handiwork of God. Amen, Brother Silas. Creation is the handy work of God. Handy work of God. And I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a private eye. But I know when you touch something, you leave an imprint. You leave a fingerprint. You leave a handprint. You leave some DNA. You leave something behind that tells who did it. When God created the worlds, and God created the star and the moons and the planets and the rivers and all it is, when you look out, as the Bible said in the book of Psalms, you see the heavens that declare the glory of God. Amen? It declares the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth the handiwork. Showeth forth His handiwork. Amen. So it is true. God created. He put His holy imprint there. He put Himself in His creation. You can see God in creation. That's easy understood. When you get saved, same thing happens. You're a created work, just like the worlds were. You're a created work, guess what? God puts His imprint in you. God puts His fingerprint in you. God, you are the handy work of God. I wonder, are we displaying that? Everybody listening? I wonder, are we displaying that among sinners? Do they look at you and realize that you are a new creation, and the handy work and the fingerprints of God and the imprint of God is on your life and in your life? Do they look, when you step out, friend, and you look up and you see stars and the clouds and the beauty, you have to say, God did that. Brother Craddock, those pictures y'all sent me from out west, there's no way you can pin that on man. There's no way you can pin that on man, the Rockies and the or even the Smokies for that matter. How could you possibly take the Grand Canyon and say, oh, a man did that? That's it takes more faith to believe that absurdity than to say God did it. Huh? Say amen right there. I'm talking about a holy imprinted work. When you look at the beauty of our creation and you say, wow. My wife, she hangs up these hummingbird feeders on the porch. And you can sit out there and those things, I'm telling you, they buzz around and fly around and they can fly backwards as fast as forward. And I thought, my, what a creature. Amazing how pretty and small. I'd like to find her nest one time. You probably couldn't see their eggs. They'd, so, they'd have to be so small. I'd like to find it. But then they'll fly back to the where? South America or somewhere during the winter. They're already starting to leave. Who gave that? I look at that and I say, God did that. That's His fingerprints all over it. Amen. When you see that, you think, man, the vastness of God's beautiful creation. I say, wow, glory to God. The fingerprints of God's on that. But I want to tell you what else, Brother Fultz, when I see a sinner saved by grace, when I see a life changed by the power of God, hey man, then they go from being an old sorry, no account, good for nothing, have nothing, were nothing, never be nothing, sinner, to being born again. And now they love Jesus and love the Bible and love heaven and love holy things. I say, wow, man didn't do that. God did that. Amen. Hallelujah, amen. Woo, glory. But how many claim to be made a new creature in Christ? And you have no difficulty at all of hiding it. Can you hide God's creation? Can you hide a river? Can you hide the clouds? Can you hide the sun? Can you hide the stars? You can't hide this creation, and I don't think you can hide being made a new creature either. I believe it'll be evident in your life. I believe it'll be visible in your life. Amen. I believe it'll be very apparent that God has done a work in you. The Word of God said there in Psalms, and the firmament showeth forth His handiwork. Showeth. Do you get that? The firmament, when you look around, it showeth forth His handiwork. And that word show means to stand boldly out opposite to the rest. That's true about the firmament, but that's also true about you. When you get saved, God will do a work in you. God will do a work in you. Hallelujah. I said that right. God will do a work in you, on you, and it'll be evident God did it, and you will show forth the handiwork of God. That is, you will show it to be standing out boldly opposite to everything else. The very term creation identifies separation. God stepped out in Genesis and spoke and said, let there be light. What happened, Brother Fultz? There was an immediate distinction and separation between light and darkness. When God spoke and said, let the dry land appear, immediately there was a distinct difference between the wet and the dry. And I want to tell you, without running that any further, if you get saved by the grace of God, God will make a new creature out of you, and you'll be distinctly different from what you used to be and from those around you that are lost without God. I want Miss Paul Sue to be making her way, and I want to give you this in closing. Lord, give this to me right before I come to church. Actually, I was on my way to church. What does this all do? This preaching about salvation being a creation. What's that going to do? What's that do? Here's what it should do to you if you're lost. If you're here today and you're not saved, I want you to listen to the preacher. God's wanting to help you. God's wanting to help you. What it should do to you if you're lost, it should get this salvation, creation, truth. It ought to give you hope. Now, if I got up here, and I'm going to try not to preach on these right here. I'm just going to give them to you. But listen, if I got up here and said, now you've got to work, and you've got to do, and you've got to perform, and you've got to this, and you've got to live up to this line, and this and that and the other, I would probably be giving sinners no hope. Because how many lost people won't even get saved now because they've already got it in their mind? I can't live it, preacher. Truth! You spoke truth. You can't live it. God knows you can't. That's why He didn't come along to refurbish and remodel and reconstruct. It's because you need to be made anew. You can't give God nothing to work with. Amen. 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 You give hope to unsaved people when you tell them it's a work of God. God does it in you. And I'm going to jump back on that one just a second, but here's a second one. Not only should it give hope to unsaved people, but it should give assurance to saved people. When you look in your life and you see the changes and you see that you see all of this that God has done by you being born again, that right there ought to show you. That right there ought to give you evidence. Listen, you can't be saved and there not be evidence of it. Amen. When you look around, listen, when I go outside and I look around and I see the sun and the clouds and the creation and the mountains and the rivers and all of that, you know what that does? That, my friend, gives me assurance that there's a creator. When I look in the mirror and I see an old sinner saved by the grace of God, been made a new creature in Christ. He took my old foul mouth and cussing lips, amen, and called them to preach, amen. Hey, He took a person that didn't want to go to church and run away from home because of it. I want to tell you, He saved him by the grace of God. Now I'd rather go to church than eat. He gives assurance to the saved. Let me jump back on that first one just right before Miss Paul Sue plays the invitation. Lord, give this to me. I ain't got it in my notes. Lord, give it to me. Listen. How was this world created? With the Word. All that you see out there in the vastness and the incomprehensible, unexplainable deal out there in creation. All that came about by God speaking His Word. How is a person saved? How is a person made a new creature in Christ? How? Same way. Same way. God speaks and there's an agreement. God says, you need to be saved. Yes. I'm telling you how you can be saved now. God's Word declares, you're a sinner. Yes. You need to be saved. Yes. You're condemned. Yes. You can't save yourself. No. Jesus is your only hope. Yes.